I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Welcome in to a new episode of The Memo. It is Wednesday, October 14th, 2015. Brad Locke here with you, along with not Derek Russell, but Chris Kiefer, our producer, sitting in Derek's chair today. Chris.
Sorry. Sorry for everybody's expecting Derek.
Yeah, Derek is swamped with other things he's got to do for the journal. So Chris is going to sit in. It's just going to be me and Chris today, and some guests as well. But it'll still be a good show despite Derek not being here. He'll be back tomorrow.
He'll be back. Be patient.
We got a full show today, but yeah, what?
I was going to ask if you're doing all right today.
I'm okay.
It's always a tough day. You sharing an interest in baseball as myself, I know it's always a tough day when your team season ends. So tough one for the Cardinals yesterday.
I know your Giants didn't make it this time to the postseason, but then it's an odd year.
So I guess I expected it.
They'll win it all next year. Yeah, I'm a Cardinals fan. I still love sports. I don't cheer for any teams in particular, except the St. Louis Cardinals. And, yeah, they went down to the Cubs, which that stings a little bit. You know, I don't let losses get to me like I used to when I was younger, but this is the first time these two teams have met in the postseason, which makes sense, really, because there's not been that many opportunities before being in the same division, and the wild card is still fairly recent. But so the first time they meet in the postseason, the Cubs win. That does sting.
Bragging rights. Yeah, tell me, you know, that rivalry, and everyone talks about how big it is. I know, as mentioned, being a Giants fan, the Giants-Dodgers rivalry and how intense I get for that. But I've wondered, though, is that kind of a one-sided rivalry? I mean, for Cardinals fans, do they kind of feel the same
It kind of is. Like, when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, the Cubs, for the most part, were not any good.
Right.
So when I was a kid, I'm like, you know, I had to have teams to hate, but the Cubs were not a team I hated. I'll be honest, when I was young, I didn't realize the Cubs were supposed to be the Cardinals' big rival. To me, it was the Mets. Because back then,
in the old
NL East, the Cardinals and the Mets were like the two teams going back and forth back in the 80s every year. Those were the two best teams most seasons. So I was like anti-Mets big time. And the Cubs are just like an afterthought because, let's be honest, they just, you know, I think they had like a really good season like in, was it 84? They made the NLCS.
Yeah, they did. And then 89 when they played against Will Clark and the Giants,
right,
too.
Right. But, you know, for the most part, they were just the lovable losers, and I had no reason to hold any animosity toward them. And now that I'm older, I just don't get into hating teams so much. So I'm actually, believe it or not, cheering for the Cubs to win the whole thing because I think it's a really good storyline, number one. And number two, I've got a lot of friends who are Cubs fans, and, you know, they're good people.
they are.
You know? And you know, it'd be really cool for them to see their team finally win a World Series because, again, it's been 107 years since it's happened. So there have been generations of Cubs fans that have not seen it happen. And so it would be a cool storyline. But then again, once they win it, that storyline's over, kind of like with the Red Sox. You know, it was kind of this mystical thing, the curse and all that. And so if the Cubs win it, that's kind of gone. And then they're just, I guess, the Cubs. But
you kind of lose your identity. I mean, I thought that was weird. Like you said, when the Red Sox won, I mean, part of the identity of being a fan of that franchise, of being a fan of the Cubs, was, you know, this perennial never winning a championship.
Yeah, the long-suffering fans will no longer be suffering if they win it. But
I saw yesterday that it was the first time the Cubs have ever clinched a playoff series at home. They haven't been to the World Series since 45, much less winning it since 08. But that was something. I guess when they went in, was that
03?
They won Bartman, but they won in Atlanta.
And the NLDS. And then they lost in the NLCS. And this was their first playoff appearance since then, or they'd been
a couple of times. Yeah, they lost to the Dodgers and they lost to the Diamondbacks one time. Somewhere in that in that time frame.
Yeah, so they clinched at home, and now they get to play either the Dodgers or the Mets. Their game five is, I think, tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow and after that, the travel
and then the NLCS begins, I believe, on Saturday. So, congrats to the Cubs. I'll be gracious and sporting about it, and it's a fun young team to watch. They hit like all the home runs the last two games. the best pitching staff in baseball suddenly did not look like it. But that's, I guess, a testament to the Cubs. And you play in Chicago, that wind's blowing out. That's a tough deal.
Yeah, they can hit.
But anyway, okay, moving on from sports. We got, like I said, plenty of stuff to talk about today, plenty of people to talk with. Let's start with William Moore.
Here we go.
So welcome in, William. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Thanks for joining us again. William, of course, our crime reporter and a part-time local government reporter, although he'll finally get to relinquish those duties very soon here.
Tomorrow, right?
That's right. Got the new guy coming in.
Not that you're counting down the days or anything.
Not me, never.
But we got a cool story you did here. City of Tupelo sending some tourism officials all the way to England.
To jolly old England.
To the motherland or whatever. Yeah, going to go. And, of course, it has to do with Elvis. Because everything
in Tupelo has to do with Elvis.
Everything that has to do with Tupelo tourism has to do with Elvis.
Yes, there's been a large exhibition going on at this arena in London. It's called the O2.
Yeah, what is that exactly?
It's a large arena that's named after a telecommunications company called the O2. It's
of course.
Like Telcom Park.
Of course.
Or the Bancor South Arena.
Right.
But anyway, there's this massive exhibition that's been going on since January. There's things there that have never left Graceland before. So it's a great opportunity for folks in Europe to come see all things Elvis. And it's been such a success that they've extended it through December.
Right.
And
wow.
The folks at Graceland decided to sort of share the wealth, the tourism wealth. So they invited like the city of Tupelo, the Mississippi Department of Tourism, and some other folks to come in and help sell their own products at this event. I mean, we'll have three people from Tupelo. There will be two folks from the Convention and Visitors Bureau plus the mayor. We'll go over the first week in November.
Yeah.
And they will be meeting with travel and tourism folks there, trying to point out that when you don't have to just come to Memphis and go to Graceland, you can also take the short trip down to Tupelo. And they'll also be promoting larger tours where, I mean, it's like a two-week tour where folks can land in Atlanta, go up to Nashville, where Elvis started with the country music side, that go to Tupelo, drive to Memphis, go through the Mississippi Delta, see the blues, go down to New Orleans. I guess that's for the Louisiana Hayride.
Okay.
And then head back towards Atlanta to International Airport to fly in and out of.
So it's going to be Neil McCoy, Executive Director of the Tupelo Convention and Visitors Bureau. It's going to be Mayor Jason Shelton. And then it's going to be the CVB's International Sales Director, Jenny Curley. That trio making the trip. It's going to be about a week.
It's going to be a week. They'll leave. They'll fly out on a Sunday night, arrive early Monday morning.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long flight.
Yeah.
I'll recover Monday. They'll have events Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday and try to get everything packed up on Friday and head back.
Yeah. Doing this, so this O2, is this just an Elvis thing or is Elvis just part of it?
It's a massive arena.
Okay.
It's in North Greenwich.
Okay.
And, I mean, they have all kinds of other entertainment like movie theaters, bowling alleys,
okay,
and other stuff. But it's also got a large arena space where they can have displays. I mean, it's sort of like going to the pyramid in Memphis.
Right, okay.
Where you have different things going on all at the same time.
Gotcha, okay.
Or a Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah, exactly. This makes sense because, as we know, Elvis is huge in England. In fact, right now, today, he's probably bigger in England than he is here, I guess. I don't know.
You know, every year around his birthday and the anniversary of his death,
yep,
we always have three or four busloads of British tourists who come to Tupelo.
Oh, yeah, they organize these tours over there and bring them over.
And basically, it's a way of doing that and trying to promote that throughout the year.
Yeah.
Instead of just coming on those large days when it's just it's a throng of people, they're trying to get them to do the more relaxed, what they call fly and drive, where basically they would fly here and then drive around the countryside.
And maybe get to, like you said, come
you
to Tupelo.
A feel.
And maybe get to know Tupelo. And again, this kind of ties into the Elvis Birthplace Trail, whatever you want to call it, with the sidewalk and everything the work they're doing on Main Street, and that's kind of encouraging people to kind of walk Tupelo and get to know the area a little bit. So that's a cool deal. They leave again November 1st. You can read the story in the Daily Journal or at djournal.com. William, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, up next we have Daily Journal Education reporter Emma Crawford. How are you today, Emma?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Doing well. Thanks. So the Tupelo School District in April passed its $44 million bond issue, and they've now got another project that's going to proceed from those funds. Is that right?
Yeah, they are adding classrooms at Tupelo Middle School.
Tell us more. How many classrooms and when will they start?
They're getting 5 classrooms, and they're building it so that it's prepared to have in a second level. You know, if they ever wanted to add that, then they could have 10 classrooms in that building. And they've got to bid it out, so it should be bid by early November. And then they said it's about a 30-day period before they can start construction. So 7 to 8 months was the construction time for that project.
So they start at January. It could be close to the beginning of school.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
If not quite, roughly July, August, something like that.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure they hope for it to be done by the time school starts, because that would be nice for them. But yeah, big. So more space for all those middle schoolers.
How do they plan it? It looked like from reading your story, Emma, there were a couple of different ideas they had for how they were going to use it. Kind of what is their plan right now for how they'll use those classrooms?
Yeah, they're going to be multi-purpose classrooms. I mean, so that any subject could be taught in there. They had originally kind of toyed with the idea of making them science labs because the teachers were saying, well, we have these science labs, but they're kind of out of date. Like, what if we made new ones? And then you could use these rooms, the old ones, for other classes. But I think they decided that it would have been really expensive to do all new science labs. So they've updated the old science labs, and then these will be multi-purpose rooms, so they can be used for anything.
They did the science labs already, the renovations of them?
I think they're in progress. They're working on them. So
this project got held up a little bit. Is that right, from something with the City Planning Commission?
Yeah. Well, they originally had wanted to build 7 rooms, and so with that, the building would have extended further kind of toward the street, and that moves into the city's right-of-way. And so they had to go ask for variance from the planning committee, and with the amount of traffic coming through that area, and it kind of would have blocked the view of that intersection, you know, where the road curves around the middle school coming from Varsity Drive. And so the committee denied that request because they said, you know, we don't think that that's a good idea. So, but I think, from what I understand, is 5 classrooms plus the cost of updating the science labs kind of evens out to what the 7 classroom addition would have cost. So it works out.
Kind of came out in the wash as far as the money of it goes, sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be built then. You said it's that field. Is that right? Kind of in that field, but there's a little grass area if you come in on Varsity Drive right before you go right toward the parking lot. That's where it's going to be?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of getting crammed in right there, I guess.
Yeah, there's not a lot of space in that area, but that's where they've got it planned. So,
have they talked much about the need for it? I mean, are they kind of overcrowded right now, or is this as much to kind of meet future growth, or a little bit of both?
I think it's a little bit of both. They've talked about, you know, we need more classrooms, but also talking about we want to make sure we build them anticipating growth in the future. You know, they're anticipating having more kids in there. And so it's, like you said, a little bit of both.
Sure.
Yeah.
And as far as the bond projects, kind of where do they stand? What's the next big one or the next small one, or kind of what are they looking at right now?
There's two. They finished up like the security film and the cameras and the roofing at the Fillmore Center. And lots of the little ones have been, you know, finished. But the two big ones that are also coming up are the command center, which will be built at the Fillmore Center, and the ECEC classroom addition. And that one's still in the design phase. They haven't decided yet how many rooms. They were between 4 and 6, but they haven't picked yet which one they're going to go with. So those will be the next two big things coming up.
That would not be ready for next school year, but it's somewhere.
Yeah, I doubt.
Down the road.
I don't know. I mean, I can't say for sure, but, you know, I doubt they're still trying to figure out the design of it. I would think it would be a little longer until that one got done. So yeah, lots of construction, lots of new classrooms, more kids, more space, you know.
What did they say? Pardon our progress.
Yeah.
the saying on college campuses everywhere where you've got construction going on. Was there a lot of that at Mississippi State?
Oh, yeah. Right now you can't even get around campus. There's so much, you know, they're just building, and but it's a good thing. It's growing, you know.
It's a good thing for the people that come after you.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to put up with it, and then they get all the rewards.
They get all the perks. Yeah, yeah. No, it's a good thing.
All right. Well, thanks, Emma. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, and here is the Daily Journal business editor, Dennis Hidd. Hello, Dennis.
Good morning.
Good morning. You had a column, Dennis, on Sunday in your business section that I thought was particularly interesting about Ashley Furniture and some of the growth that they've had there, and just kind of looking at the furniture industry maybe more vital than people realized. And then just this morning, you've got some more breaking news on Bauhaus. Tell us a little bit about their latest plans.
Yeah, Bauhaus, they had a new president named back in May, Wayne Stevens, and he said then that they were looking to expand. And sure enough, this morning they announced they're moving into a former Carolina Accents facility up in Ripley. It's about 230,000 square feet. Ashley Carolina Accents is a sort of a sister company. They all fall under one owner named Daniel Lim. But anyway, Bauhaus employs about 250 in Saltillo. And Mr. Stevens said that in about a year, year and a half, they hope to have 175 employees up in Ripley. So that's good news for the furniture industry.
What do they make?
Stationary furniture, upholstered furniture, sofas, sofa beds, chairs, ottomans. They don't do motion furniture, which is the recliners and things like that. So he said business is good. They've picked up a few new accounts. And so thanks to the customers out there, Bauhaus is expanding and adding employees to the furniture industry in Northeast Mississippi.
Which, you know, and what I found particularly interesting from your column, from I guess even my time since I've been here at the Journal and my time before this when I was on the education beat, is you would just hear a lot of hand-wringing from people about that was the biggest industry here, and now it's kind of drying up, and so we've got to prepare students for different industries and so forth.
Sure.
But it sounds like maybe the news isn't quite as dire as what you were hearing.
Well, you know, the good old days are far and away gone, but the industry still employs, just the manufacturers still employ about 19,000 in the state, most of them here in Northeast Mississippi, and suppliers employ another 21,000. So, you know, that's 40,000 folks. Manufacturing has always been a big part of the economy here in Northeast Mississippi, with furniture being the bulk of that manufacturing. So, you know, it's not like we're going to be losing that completely. There's always going to be a need for furniture, for upholstered furniture. But having things like Yokohama and General Atomics and, of course, Toyota, and you have Cooper Tire, too, who provide that diversity is a good thing. But the recent news with the furniture industry, with Ashley expanding, with Bauhaus expanding, with some of the things that have been announced this year, just kind of reinforces the theme that, hey, we still make furniture, and we're not going to forget about you guys.
And you mentioned those two, and it's, if I'm remembering right from your column, there were a couple others. There have been several different expansions within the last year or so. Is that right?
Yeah, a lot of it's come this year with the announcements. We've had several, including Emerald Home Furnishings over near Albany, Bauhaus that we just mentioned. We've had about a half dozen or so, seven companies actually, that have announced expansions across the region, totaling about $14 million in investment and 1,200 jobs. Of course, H.M. Richards is the big one. That was an $8 million investment, and they hope to add 500 jobs in the next 3 years. So that was the biggest announcement this year, and that was this spring sometime.
Why do you think that's all happened within the last year? Is it any particular forces? Is there more home construction going on?
Well, you know, the economy has improved. Of course, that depends on your perspective and your politics, but, you know, the numbers are better. The housing market has improved. You know, the interest rates are still low, so you're getting good rates on interest rates and mortgages and refinancing. So, you know, there was always home building and furnishing going on, but during the recession, of course, there's a scaling back. So as you see the economy improve, the unemployment numbers improve, you'll see more disposable income available. And one of those big purchase items is your living room or your dining room or your bedroom suite. So it's, you know, the more the economy improves and the more houses are built and the more renovations are being made, the more furniture is being bought, which is good for us here in Northeast Mississippi.
Yeah, you had a line at the end that said, as long as you have houses that need furniture, there's always going to be a need for the furniture industry.
There you go. Just like, you know, as long as you have grass growing, you're always going to need a lawnmower or a weed eater. So,
getting to that protection. So that's been some good news. I guess you had on the other end some maybe a little more downer news in the paper this morning. Seaport Air, it seems like that process from replacing them and going to somewhere else has kind of been snagged a little bit.
Well, back in August, Seaport had said they wanted to leave the market, and along with Muscle Shoals, the market being Tupelo, of course. By November 13th, Transportation Department said, nah, not that fast, because you have to have at least 90 days. So as expected, actually, the DOT extended the service that Seaport has to provide such that it is through at least December 28th or until a carrier is found. Back when we lost Delta a few years back, I mean, they kept Department of Transportation probably extended that 30-day window five or six times. So there's no telling how long we'll have Seaport, but at least the first round of bids that DOT is hoping for is October 28th. So any carrier that wants to provide service here in Tupelo, and I don't have any inside information as to who that might be, but October 28th is the deadline for that. So we'll, you know, find out somewhere around that time who wants to provide service. If there is anybody who wants to provide service, we'll just have to kind of wait and see. Meanwhile, you know, there are 20, I think, boardings in Tupelo last month. Or maybe 30. Either way,
for the month.
Yeah, the numbers are horrid.
So if you're listening out there and you provide airline service, don't forget about Tupelo.
Yeah, you know, you may if you're looking for a startup plan, want to get into business for yourself. There you go.
Especially if you got flights to Tahiti.
Tupelo to Tahiti direct flight.
where else do we want? What's on our wish list? San Francisco. Go to some Giants games.
Maybe go to St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Chicago would be nice. Go Cubs.
Yeah.
Go Cubs, go.
Yeah, oh, that's right. You're a Cubs fan, aren't you?
Yes, I keep
surrounded by them. You, Justin Whitmore, is a Cubs fan.
Derek? Derek's a Cubs fan.
Is Derek Russell?
He's a Cubs and a Cardinals fan, so he'll be less conflicted in this.
That's
like
being a State and Ole Miss fan.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Derek. I'm not sure he's not here to defend himself.
Maybe he doesn't even like baseball. He's just, I don't know.
He's confused.
Yeah, he is. Well, congrats to your team, Dennis. I'm happy for them.
Well, you know, it's a long time coming. So.
Yeah, really, really. Well, really long. It's still got a ways to go.
We're not called the lovable losers for nothing, right?
Maybe not be called the lovable losers much longer. Have to get a new identity.
It is 2015, Back to the Future.
That's right. They called it.
Put all your money on the Cubs. Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate
you're welcome.
Well, it is Wednesday, which means it is food day, although we didn't get to do food last week because we were at that Career Expo. But we get to have Jenna Parsons back. Hello, Jenna.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. And you?
I'm swell. Thank
good.
You.
Good.
Thank you.
Did you miss us last week?
Terribly.
I'm sure you did. Yeah. Well, hey, we got a lot to talk about, Jenna.
We do.
We got a full food section. It's making me hungry. Johnny's Drive-In. That's a Tupelo staple over on East Main Street.
It
and
is.
Got a big anniversary coming up with it. What are they doing for it?
They're going to be giving away T-shirts and gift certificates, and they're welcoming back some old customers who maybe haven't been there in a while. The owner, Don Knight, had Johnny's for 25 years. He bought it from the original Johnny, John Chisholm. And then he sold it, said it was the biggest mistake of his life, and he regretted it the minute he signed the papers. And when he got an opportunity to buy it back in 2009, he did. And so they are going to be celebrating 70 years Saturday. It's wow. The oldest continually operating restaurant in Tupelo.
That's right. It opened October 17th, 1945.
Yes.
That was right after the end of World War II, if
yes.
I remember my history correctly.
Right.
My dad was like 3 years old. Wow, that is a long time ago.
Well, my coworker Scott Morris would say it was right after I was born.
Nah.
So, yeah.
Who said that, Scott Morris?
Scott Morris would say that.
He would say that, wouldn't he?
Yes, yes.
No, and I've been here 13 years and have yet to eat there for some reason. I don't know why.
You need to go.
I just don't venture into East Tupelo that often. No particular reason. I just don't.
And if you go, you need to ask to sit in the booth where Elvis sat when he was there.
Oh, okay.
He would eat there in the same booth.
Anything you'd recommend? I guess it's all good.
I like the hamburger steak.
Okay. Hamburger steak. I have to go there soon now because I'll drive by it sometimes. I'm like, why haven't I eaten there yet? I mean, I've eaten at Dairy Cream just down the street. We go there all the time, so it's not like I'm avoiding that side of town.
Sometimes it's hard to get a parking place. Maybe the lot's always full when you're there.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, that's it. But anyway, yeah, they'll be celebrating 70 years on Saturday. Other stuff to talk about, Jenna, your cook of the week, as I crinkle the paper here.
Miss Mildred Barton.
Mildred Barton, Alcorn County native, now living here in Lee County.
For about a year, and right. She probably will move back to Alcorn County when her kids get out of school.
I was very sorry about the racket, people.
It's the sound of newspapers.
It's a newspaper. It's a beautiful sound to me.
don't forget about paper.
Mildred Barton, our cook of the week, found this to be a very interesting story, as the cooks of the week tend to be very interesting people, I've noticed. You know, you talked a few weeks ago about how many, like, millions of cookbooks you have in your house. This lady has one cookbook and never uses it.
Never opens it. She doesn't have to. She's got all her recipes in her head. She does have a few on note cards tucked away in her spice cabinet. But I have to tell you about the broccoli bread that she made. She has young teenage daughters, 15 and 17. And when I got to her apartment, these young boys were walking in and out. And I said something to her about her sons. And she said, oh, I don't have sons. I have daughters. And I said, well, who are these boys? And she said, they're just waiting on me to cut that broccoli bread so they can have a piece of it. And I had just eaten lunch, so I didn't have any. But the photographer, Lauren Wood, took a piece with her to her next assignment. And I bet Lauren hadn't been on the road 5 minutes before she texted me and said, please tell Miss Barton that this broccoli bread is some of the best stuff I've ever eaten.
I've never even heard of broccoli bread. And I don't really, I'll eat broccoli. I'll just, you know, because you got to eat healthy foods. I'll force it down when we have it, but broccoli bread, again, I've never heard of, but then again, I hate zucchini, but I love zucchini bread, so I don't know what it is.
This is going to be more like a Mexican cornbread, except the broccoli instead of the jalapenos.
Okay.
It's got cheese, it's got eggs, but a lot of times when you have Mexican cornbread, it's got corn in it and sour cream for the moisture. This one has cottage cheese, which you can't taste, Lauren said.
Okay.
But this is kind of a sweet bread. But I'm telling you, those boys, I don't think there was a crumb left on that plate when they got through with it.
I'm looking at the picture in the paper, and it looks good.
It smelled good.
Yeah, I bet. Wow.
She just tried it on a whim, too. Is that right?
Yeah, she found the recipe. She said she always tries new recipes during the holidays. She has a captive audience.
Yep.
And they can say whether they like it, you know, Mama make this again or not. And she made it for Thanksgiving, and they ate it before she could try it. So she made it again at Christmas, and they ate it before she could try it. And so she made it and took it to church, and she didn't get a bite of it there either. So now she makes a double batch, makes it about once a month, so she gets to enjoy it as well.
Let's talk, too, now real quick, switching gears to Chili Fest, something else I have yet to take part in for some reason.
Oh, you're missing out.
If I'd stop having kids, maybe I could have a life. No.
Well, Jenna tried to warn you, I'm just going to say.
I know. But Chili Fest is happening, what, this weekend?
Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday. That's in 2 days. 28 teams going to compete, so that's a pretty good-sized field, isn't it?
It is. I think they had 28 last year,
okay.
And there are actually spaces for 32 or 34 teams, so a few of the teams will take two spaces so they can have extra special tent decorations or costumes, because you get judged on that as well as chili. When you go for lunch, you get to see the tents and you get to enjoy a bowl of chili and fixins from Barbecue by Jim.
Yeah.
When you go in the evening, you get to enjoy all that. Plus you get to taste little sample cups of the different chilies and you can vote on them if you wish and vote for the people's choice.
Tickets are $5 for the lunch, $10 for the evening, the dinner. And are you judging this year? Have you judged before?
No, I have been asked to judge before in the past, but because I write about it, really not fair. So maybe one year I'll take the day off work and be able to be a judge instead of a journalist.
Maybe I should judge it. I like chili.
Love chili. It's a great day.
Just darn good chili is your recipe. That's pretty straightforward.
Super Talk Mississippi.
Okay, that was the winning recipe last year?
The winning recipe, right. The judge's choice.
The judge's choice, gotcha. Right. Okay. You know, there are some people who think that you should not put
Beans.
Beans and chili. How do you stand on this controversial issue, Jenna?
I'm with the beans because that's the way my mama made it. Okay. And so, but my mother always made it with kidney beans. I like to switch it up, add black beans to it sometimes. I also make a white bean chili where you use Great Northern beans and chicken and corn, and it's a white chili instead of a robust red chili. But
and this just darn good chili has kidney beans and black beans in the recipe. So
it does.
I'm good with either as long as it tastes good. I'm not that going to get worked up about beans and chili.
I don't know that I've ever eaten chili without beans. That may be a Texas thing. I think that's kind of where they draw the line.
Maybe so. Yeah, Texas. Okay. All right. Read all this in today's food section of the journal and at djournal.com. Jenna, always enjoy having you on. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Hey, I meant to ask you something earlier, Chris. Emma Crawford, we had on the show a while ago, new education reporter. Newish, would she be considered your protege since that was your job before and she succeeded you? And
I don't know about that. I think it took about 15 minutes to learn everything I knew. I think she's already long past me, and I don't know. I know people probably like. I don't remember who that education reporter was before before Emma Crawford. She's done great. She's taking the reins up. And,
she's done very well.
Yeah, she sure is. We're lucky to have her.
Came here as a general assignment reporter earlier this year, fresh out of school.
Yeah.
But very talented, very good writer, hard worker. And then, of course, we had the changes in the summer, and she took over the education beat. So I guess what I'm saying is you're getting older, so you can have a protege now.
Yeah, thanks.
That's what that means.
Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, anytime. Hey, a quick reminder, y'all need to check out Thrive Marketing. It's a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. Thrive.ms.
And hey, I wanted to mention, Brad, Jenna was just talking about Chili Fest. You know, we will be out there. The Daily Journal will be out there at Chili Fest.
That's right.
In fact, to me, it's one of the best days we have here at the Daily Journal all year. We've got it's a new thing, but the last couple of years we've had a cook-off here to determine who is going to cook the Daily Journal's chili. And as a chili lover myself, it's great to go in there in the break room and get all the chili that you can eat. Misha Rogers won this year, and so...
Misha, yeah.
It'll be her recipe.
She works in advertising.
Yeah, she does, and it was a... I don't know if we want to say the theme now or let it be a surprise.
I don't know if she wants it to be a surprise, so I guess we'll just let it be a surprise.
You'll find out on Friday. But in addition to that, I think significant for this show is they will be... have some sort of prize, and I don't remember what it is, but for people who are either listening to the memo already or who sign up for it there, I think there's some baked goods that they were going to have or something that we'll be handing out. So particularly those of you listening to this, be sure to stop by the Daily Journal table and show them the show on your phone, and you will get a prize.
Yeah, good stuff.
Just for listening to us.
I mean, yeah. For suffering through this show. No, it's kidding.
I was going to say, I thought listening to the show was enough of a prize. But.
No, but you can follow the show on Twitter, by the way, at DJournalMemo. And you can follow Chris at Chris Kiefer. I'm at Brad Locke. Silent E.
E. I'll give you a break since Derek's not here. I thought you paused waiting for it to come.
I was waiting for it anyway. I was waiting for Derek to pop his head in the door and go, E.
You hear his voice in our head.
Yeah, but you can follow all the news fit to print in Northeast Mississippi at djournal.com and follow us on Twitter at djournalnow. So, good show, Chris. Thanks for sitting in.
Hey, man. My pleasure. Anytime.
And Derek will be back tomorrow. So until then, y'all have a great day.